Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we're going to be learning about the halachas and the customs surrounding the chuppah, the marriage ceremony. This is Siman Kuf Mem Zayin, 147 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Just a note, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is actually pretty short to this topic because he's talking about the consumer end. He's talking about what people experience when making a simcha. He's not talking about what it takes when planning the simcha from the side of the Mesader Kedushin, the person who is organizing and orchestrating, officiating that ceremony, for which there are many, many, many more complicated halachas. So what we're going to do is we're just going to put in a few extras over here above and beyond what the Kitzur was actually saying as well, just to give it a more of a wholesome experience, because the Kitzur is very short when it comes to this. We're going to look at four ideas: the chuppah, when to make the wedding, the bedekin, and the wedding itself. Let's go start from the top, the chuppah itself. Why does there need to be a chuppah? So the first stage of marriage is called kiddushin. That's what's called betrothal. And that is when the groom gives an item of value to the bride. And Sarah Zahareat Mekodeshasli. That's usually done under the chuppah. However, there's what's called nisuyim, which is full marriage. In the old days, they used to be done 12 months after the kiddushin section. But now today we put the two together. So this is achieved today in one of three ways. Number one is when they stand under the chuppah together. Number two is when the groom lowers the bride over the veil. That's the bedekin ceremony. And number three is when they seclude themselves, when they have what's called the yichud, when they live, they stay behind locked doors for a short meal after the chuppah as well. What does the chuppah need to look like? So it's described as a cloth which is held up above the heads of the couple, and it's essentially like their house, their shared tent as well. Why is the chuppah customary to be held under the open sky? So it's seen as a good sign, a siman tov, that it, as the bracha is upon the children of Avraham, that your children will be like the stars of the heaven. Therefore, we do it outside under the heaven. Another reason is also, is it was usually done customarily in the courtyard of a shul, and that is because we want it to be a neutral territory where the chuppah can therefore be seen as, so to speak, the house of the chasan, of the young man, that the bride is entering into as part of the experience of nisoyin. What defines the chuppah according to this siman? So the chuppah refers to the cloth that's spread out. The most important part, obviously, is going to be the cheder yichud, which is afterwards, which we'll discuss next time. Now, when to make the wedding? Why is it customary to marry during the full phase of the moon, when the moon is growing larger? So it's considered a siman tov again to get married during that time. Until when does that go? So it usually goes until the 22nd of the month. People try not to get married in the last 8 days of the lunar month because of this. Is it proper to marry before the bride is able to go to the mikveh? So the Kitzur says it is best to ensure that it's not what's called a chuppah sinda, that she is in fact in a state of purity for the chuppah, but if it's not possible, it still can be done. It can be done, but it needs to have a few reformations. There's a few things which are slightly different when it comes to chuppah sinda. Usually today, these kind of things can be regulated with a pill in the way that to avoid being in a chuppah sinda when it comes to this respect. We move next to the concept of the bedekin. So what is the chasnas tish for? Just a very basic thing. So this is done before, and this is usually when the officiating rabbi completes the signing of the necessary documents. This could be the tanaim, the ksuba, the wedding license. This is a time for the groom to share dire Torah as well. What is the bedekin? So the bedekin is the main part of the pre-chuppah ceremony. So the bride is brought in. She's surrounded by her family and friends. She's treated like a queen. She's put in a special throne or special chair. And this is done already in the times of the Mishnah. She's described as sitting in a throne-like chair. It's time that people give her greetings and brachas before her wedding. What happens with the veil? So when the groom comes to greet her, he's accompanied by his family and friends to the bride, and he lowers the veil. Why is this done? Some say this is a halachic value of being part of the nisuyim process. Others say this dates back to the time that Rivka met Yitzhak, and she veils herself as a sign of modesty. Some suggest it relates to Yaakov Avinu and his marriage to Rachel when it turned out to be Leah. So therefore, this is the chosen sees the color beforehand as well. What else is done at the bedekah? So the custom is to give a bracha to the bride, as is given to Rachel, to Rivka Imenu before she gets married. Our sister, you will be a great multitude, and your children will accomplish against their enemies. And this bracha is given by first the fathers and then the grandfathers. And it used to be that the elders of the town would also give this bracha to the bride at this particular point. It's a very special bracha, which is shared at this point in time. We now move to the fourth concept, which is the wedding itself. So who walks the aisle first? The minhag is the groom to walk the aisle first, and the bride. It's set up in this way that he's welcoming her to his house in this respect as part of the nisuin process. This follows the pattern of creation. Adam was created first, then Chava is welcomed in, Hashem bringing her to him. Who accompanies them? The minhag is for each of them to be accompanied down the aisle. In many circles, the father and the mother escort their children. This replicates the angels accompanying Adam to the chuppah, and then when he got married. If the parents are not present, the remaining parents should one parent's not there, the other parents should escort them. There should also be a couple which escorts them as well. In some circles, the fathers escort the groom and the mothers escort the bride. The idea of long retinues of all the family members and the friends walking themselves has no basis in Torah ideas. It's most likely a secular practice. However, it used to be that actually the chosan and the kala were accompanied as they walked down by many friends. In addition to the family as well, that is acceptable. That's talked about in times of the Gemara. But the idea of just flower girls and best men walking down is not a Jewish custom. Why do people stand when the chasan and the kala walk in? So outside of America, most people actually stand at the chuppah the entire time. And the idea of the chasan and the kala being like a king and a queen. The practice of sitting at the chuppah and standing when they walk in seems to be a secular practice that's practiced at church weddings. That's not necessarily a Jewish custom. Why is the groom dressed in a kittel? So it's to remind him of the day of his death, and he's moved to do repentance. What is the custom of involving putting ashes on the groom's forehead? This is because of the spot of the tefillin where the tefillin are worn, the ashes are placed as a reminder of the simon of mourning. Imloy alias rosh is Yerushalayim arosh simchasi. I'm placing Yerushalayim even on the highest point of simcha. What are the procedures for bringing the groom to the chuppah? So he's brought to the chuppah, but when he gets there, he should be facing east. Most people don't think about this details. They think, should he face the crowd or not face the crowd? The most important thing is he should be facing east. He should be facing Yerushalayim. What is the procedure of bringing the bride to the chuppah? So she's escorted by her bridesmaids and family. And when she comes to the chuppah, she arrives and circles the groom seven times while saying psukim. Where does the bride stand after the circling, and where does one when reciting the bracha stand? So the bride is placed on the right of the groom, and the person reciting the bracha stands on the side. The chasan and the kala should be facing east. Why does the bride wear white? Similar to the chasan, it's a sign of purity, and it's also a sign of teshuvah. What can they not wear? So the custom is that for both the groom and the bride not to wear jewelry under the chuppah. It's like a kohen gadol on Yom Kippur. He does not wear any adornments when he goes to the Kodesh Kodashim. It also reflects the idea of shrouds, that we don't take anything with us into the next world. Why do some people hold candles when escorting the chasan and the kala? So this is an ancient custom which comes. Yirmiyahu describes that when they would have weddings, they were described as having light with them as well. It's also mentioned in times of Gemara that Yir Marbe Be'or. And at the same time as well, it also takes us back to Har Sinai when HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the nation of Israel were united in commitment. It also relates to the idea that's found, the idea of Ish V'Isha. The idea is Ish, is there's fire, which means say light, which is found between the two of them. What are the songs that are sung as they come down? So first, when the groom enters, he's welcomed with the words Baruch Abba, and then immediately afterwards, we have this statement Alakol Mi Baruch Alakol Mi Gadol Alakol Mi Gadol Alakol Yivorech Esachasan VeEsakala. That's when he enters, and when she comes in, we say Baruch Haba, blessed is the one who comes in, and Mi Vanziach Shoshan Choichim Avas Kala Besos Tadim Yivorech Esachasan VeEsakala. It's a blessing to them as they build their house together as well. So these are that's what's said. There's different blessings for each of them as they come in, and they're usually sung these days. why does the bride walk around the groom? So the minhag is for her to walk around seven times. One of the reasons is the Gemara describes that living without a wife is like living without a wall. She will fortify and stay and create the stability for their house in this complex world. And so she surrounds him in an act of fortifying this as well. He also gives her a ring, which encircles and protects her. So there's sort of rings around each other. What is the first bracha said at the chuppah before? So there's the first the bracha is said on wine, and then it's said on the enterprise of marriage itself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity of creating boundaries, that we're allowed, when we get married, it's a commitment to one person and not to anyone else. And this idea makes marriage and relationships special, not simply an experience of pleasure that a person uses and disposes. Why is wine used? Wine appears at all times when one elevates a physical experience and invests something spiritual into it. What's this business of the ring? So the ring is an expression of a idea of value, an item of value, and it is an expression of commitment that the chassan gives to her. He says, in front of witnesses, and by doing so, he effectuates this as well. It also, it's worthwhile noting that that statement has 32 letters, which relate to the Hebrew word lev, which is a heart as well. Then there's the ksuba, which is read. What is the ksuba? So in the Torah, we learn about the financial gift provided by the groom to the bride at the time of marriage. And this is called mohar. The ksuba emerged in Torah law as a contract which is documented. It's the bilateral commitment of the couple to marriage and the responsibilities the husband has to the wife under Torah law. It includes also financial responsibilities. So in case the husband predeceases or divorces his wife, he has to make sure to take care of her. And the financial commitment actually takes place as a formal lien on his property and at the time of marriage as well. It also includes recognizing the assets that both sides bring into the marriage and their responsibility towards them as well. It also reflects the same marriage contract between Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Matan Torah as well. How much is it worth? So there's three different components to it. It's a complicated thing. There's the mohar besulos. There's the kesef zakukim, kesef tzaruf, and there's a tosefet ksuba. So it's a long and complicated thing based on the price of silver. There are different prices as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein put the ksuba at around $38,000, a chazanish at around $46,000, if you do the math in terms of this as well. The idea is this is something which is meant to make the relationship have more gravity, so that it's not a divorce or just separating is not going to be something which is just so easy or fly by night. Why is it read at the chuppah? So the practice was instituted by Rashi. It provides a break between the kiddushin and the nisuim, but it also publicly reminds the husband of his responsibilities to his wife. What happens after the ksuba is read? So the ksuba is meant to be a security, so therefore it's forbidden to live without the ksuba. So it's usually the kala is supposed to keep it. She gives it to her mother, and then it's meant to be that either they take it home with them or they know exactly where it is, that somebody has a responsibility. It should not remain at the wedding hall under the chuppah. Why are the Shev Brachas under the Chuppah? So the Shev Brachas under the Chuppah are an integral part of the Nisuim ceremony. They also commemorate the seven Chuppahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava at their initial marriage and the first marriage of humanity. Is there a difference between who can get what? So anyone with the title Aid is a halachic witness. It needs to be a man who is above 13 years old, who's observant and is beyond reproach in terms of his observance of mitzvahs. Why do we mention Yerushalayim at the end of the chuppah? And the reason is because the Gemara tells us that at times of great mirth and happiness, people get carried away. So we're reminded the world is absence of Hashem's full presence as expressed in the Mikdash. And this is developed for the Chos Nakala to recite a few psukim from Tehillim Kuf Lamed Zayin, which is often sung, but they should really be saying it as well as an expression of tempering that joy at this time of Simcha as well. This concludes some of the basics of outlining the chuppah. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful, meaningful